And welcome to Aviation Consumer's continuing podcast series on the world of aviation products and services. Why aircraft batteries don't last. Usually it's because the owner or operator let them discharge too deeply or too often, according to Concord's Skip Koss, who discussed battery technology and longevity with Aviation Consumer editor Paul Bertarelli. Here's Paul's report.
We're speaking today with Skip Koss, Vice President of Marketing for Concord Battery. Thanks for being with us, Skip. We recently conducted a survey of over 600 aircraft owners concerning battery longevity, and we're discovering that it looks like the conventional lead-acid battery is on its way out. And I believe you told me during a recent interview that your production of lead-acid batteries is now just about at an end.
Well, lead-acid vented or flooded batteries.
Flooded,
correct.
Yes. Okay.
We're 98% of our sales last year were of the sealed type. The older dry-charged vented type batteries seem to be not very popular anymore.
Will they? Do you think those batteries are going to last another 5 years in the market, or will everybody be out of them in that amount of time?
I think that 5 years would be a long time. They used to have this type of battery available in the automotive market for many, many years, but it became too expensive for the car battery manufacturers to manufacture dry charge batteries, so they started to make conventional vented batteries wet, and they ship them damp, not full of electrolyte because of the hazardous material shipping restrictions. But what they do is they drain them after they form them, and they ship them in a damp state, and then they have to be replenished with acid when they get to various cities of distribution, and then they have to be used in a reasonable period of time. They don't have dry charge batteries any longer in the automotive field, but in aircraft we still they're still hanging on, particularly for some of the overseas markets. But
is that just due to industrial inertia?
No, it's much more expensive to make a dry charge battery in comparison to a flooded wet battery. The dry charging process is that you manufacture and charge the positive and negative plates in an acid bath for about 24 hours, and then you take them out and rinse them and put them in a drying machine that takes all the moisture out of the plates and leaves some acid in a dry state. And then when they get to a destination, then when they need to be activated, they can be activated with electrolyte and recharged. But that process is pretty expensive, and so the automotive people got away from it.
According to our surveys, the new sealed AGM technology, absorbed glass mat technology, users report better longevity and better cranking power with those batteries. And is that an accurate determination? And if so, why is it so?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. The cranking power comes from the fact that where the flooded type batteries had wide separation on the positive and negative plates with a loose separator in between them, the AGM batteries are tightly packed. As a matter of fact, the AGM is like a sponge, and it's compressible. And so we're able to put in more plates in the same cell jar, and so there's more square inches of active material, and thereby more capacity and more cranking power with the AGM batteries. So the old 35s used to have 11 plates, and still do. The flooded type batteries have 11 plates per cell, and our 35 standard AGM battery, which we call an RG35A, has 15 plates per cell, and then we make an extra cranking version, and that has 17 plates per cell. So there's a lot more active material in the AGM batteries, and so that's the reason why they have more power.
Our survey also turned up some premature failures in the sealed batteries. And our research seemed to suggest this may have to do with charging problems in the aircraft or other kinds of owner-operator error. Is that your impression, too?
Well, that is true. We first of all, these batteries are quite well made as far as separators and in between the plates. They not only have the absorbed glass mat, but they also have a thin microporous plastic separator for an insulator as well between the plates. And then being that they are so tightly packed, they don't wear through any separators or due to vibration or anything like that. But what does happen, of course, we charge and discharge these batteries 7 times before they leave our plant. So we know they're a good working battery. That doesn't mean that they don't go through abuse in shipping, where maybe a UPS driver has dropped the battery or something like that, and it could get some internal damage just through shipping. But most of the time when they fail after 30 days, if there's a manufacturing defect, they'll generally turn up within 30 days, their first 30 days of operation. If they don't fail within 30 days, you could just about guarantee the operator has caused some problem by either leaving the battery go totally discharged, by leaving the switch on overnight or over a weekend, or maybe overcharging with a poorly regulated, unregulated automotive-type charger that will allow the voltage to go too high on the sealed battery and thereby dry them out, and they will, of course, be the loss of water will cause a loss of the actual electrolyte in the battery, and they will fail. There's no question that overcharging does hurt the battery.
Is an AGM battery sensitive to undervoltage in the charging circuit?
No. Undervoltage is, of course, it depends on how far under you're talking about, but the open circuit voltage on a 12-volt battery charged, sitting overnight, that voltage is about 12.9 volts. At 12.5 volts, it's about 50% discharged, and at 12 volts, it's almost 100% discharged. There's only about 20% capacity when you read 12 volts on a 12-volt battery. I don't know why they call them a 12-volt battery if they're dead at 12 volts, but that seems to be the case. And so consequently, undercharging, the normal charging voltage would be approximately 13.8 volts to about 14.2 volts, maybe as high as 14.5 in the wintertime. But undercharging under that voltage level of 13.8, the battery would never, ever reach its full potential as far as its capacity capability if it was undercharged under 13.8.
If I'm about to buy a new sealed battery, and I'm going to buy a Concord AGM battery, what are the things that I can do to make that battery last longer?
To maintain it in a charged state is the healthiest thing you can do for the battery. So if the airplane is inactive, and that means that it isn't flown for maybe a month or more, well, then I would put on a battery, a minder type of a charger that'll maintain the battery in a full charge state, because they do self-discharge, and they self-discharge about 50% at 80 degrees Fahrenheit in 90 days. Now, in a wet battery, incidentally, self-discharges, or a flooded battery, self-discharges 50% in 30 days. And that the reason why they have an accelerated discharge is because their vent caps are open to atmosphere. And when the oxygen is allowed to come inside the battery, it causes a chemical reaction, and the battery actually self-discharges at a faster rate than a sealed battery. But otherwise, if you maintain them charged, they will last you for years. We have reports of 6- and 8-year batteries by a lot of people at Oshkosh that visit us every year. And although I don't think that's very safe to run them until failure, I think that 4 years is long enough to run a general aviation battery, and I think it should be replaced at about a 4-year time frame.
Last question. How far are we from having a lithium-ion type aircraft battery as a starting battery?
Lithium-ion batteries are in, there's a, all of the companies that make lithium-ion batteries, including Concord, are working pretty hard on trying to get them to be acceptable by the FAA. The FAA at this time has even banned lithium batteries for on cargo airplanes. You can't carry bulk lithium batteries. There's been a fire aboard both a Federal Express and a UPS airplane, and the UPS airplane actually caught fire in the air, and they didn't have any fatalities, but the airplane was totally consumed. They were able to land it safely, but the airplane was totally consumed by the fire. There's several instances, the FAA says hundreds of instances of onboard fires with lithium batteries in cell phones and laptop computers and things like that. But at this time, the FAA has allowed the airlines to make their own decisions as to how they want to handle the lithium batteries that are carried by the passengers. The CAA in England has banned lithium batteries entirely on their airplanes as far as being hooked up to any sort of device. Now, they do have a fireproof safe that they put the batteries in. If you have a laptop and you're bringing it on board, you're not allowed to charge it on board, but you can carry it with you, but they do have a fireproof safe aboard the English airplanes. And they're pretty dangerous. The FAA has on their website, they do have a program on lithium batteries, and they'll show you that'll show you how dangerous they are right now. They have had several fires and several explosions with them. Lithium batteries don't work when they're cold. That's another problem. We don't have them working much colder than about minus 20, and that's with ether as an electrolyte, and so that makes it even more volatile. But generally, they shut off. Lithium and nickel metal hydride shut off at freezing temperatures, and they just don't work in comparison to a nickel cadmium or a lead acid battery. That'll work down to minus 40.
Concord Skip Koss. And you can read more about this and other great stories in the upcoming issue of Aviation Consumer Magazine. And you can check it out online at www.aviationconsumer.com. Be sure and check out the Aviation Consumer Bookstore. 400-plus titles available and same-day shipping. Comments on this audio cast welcome at audionews@avweb.com. Thanks for listening.